Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. You can also reach us through our website, which is restaurantguysradio.com, and you can receive our podcast through iTunes or Podcast Alley or any of those cool places where you can go and have our show sent directly to your computer every time you boot it up. Good morning there, Mark.
Good morning, Franco.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing aces.
This is the first morning of the Christmas season in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yippee.
Last night we had the
tree. Start shopping.
You know, that's not what Christmas is all about. Everyone knows it's about eating.
Oh, okay. Shopping for food.
We had the Christmas tree lighting in downtown New Brunswick last night, which was hosted by, of all the crazy people, us.
The Restaurant Guys.
They asked us to MC that thing. That was really sweet.
Very, very fun.
And we had some singing by the high school chorus and a teacher, a local teacher.
A great little dance band group from very young kids from Oaxaca, Mexico, which was great.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. It was nice. So the Christmas tree is lit in downtown New Brunswick, and we've begun. And it was actually very interesting because we have the new restaurant open. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a shameless plug, but the restaurant's on the second floor. And it's interesting because it has windows, so we have to watch the whole thing.
Kind of gazes down over the whole center of town there.
Really cool. Well, I have to tell you about something I came across. We read all the food press across the country, you know, and we quote the New York Times a lot, and we quote the Philadelphia Inquirer a lot because we aren't East Coast boys. But we do read all the food. I mean, we read everything. And so this is from...
Probably too much.
I know. And all about food.
If I knew politics, less, I'd probably be a happier guy.
Politics, war. I don't want any of that. We'll go right to the food section. This from the Dayton Daily News, Dayton, Ohio. Ohio man opens farmers-only dating service. Dateline Beachwood. Big city girl looking for small-town love. Hardworking farmer with little time to find that special someone. An Ohio man may have the answer for your dating needs. His online dating service, FarmersOnly.com, that's FarmersOnly.com, has profiles of more than 1,800 people from around the nation, from nature lovers to farmers, too busy working sunrise to sunset year-round to find love the old-fashioned way. A quote from the founder of the site, single farmers need to find someone they can relate to. Those people are out there. They just need to meet them. Newcomers on the site get a free membership for 30 days. Members are from Ohio, include farm girl Jules, 22, a Wooster woman. She says she knows her way around the milking parlor and the tractor seat. Very attractive.
Sounds discriminatory, the whole thing.
I'm intrigued. And I'm hoping she gets back to me. I sent her a little email this morning. And she's looking for a good old farm boy. She's not going to be so happy.
She's not looking for you then, pal. Sorry.
How about city slicker restaurant guy, a little overweight? All right, country plowboy.
Where do I milk the cow? You want me to what?
Exactly. I support the local farmer from my comfortable dining room. Country plowboy, a 49-year-old man from Caldwell, Idaho, described himself this way. Me? Well, I'm a successful farmer, although I sometimes wonder why. Easygoing and laid back, youthful and athletic. And maybe he's a match for Jersey cow lover. That's a little frightening. I think that one could go either way.
I'm going to say Jersey cow lover. I'm going to avoid that one.
A 29-year-old woman from Buffalo, Missouri, whose profile reads in part, till the cows come home or I go get them for the milking. I'm just your simple, hardworking dairy woman. My life is my cows and my family.
So I got to tell.
I love this.
I got to tell everybody Francis is literally surfing the internet going, hey.
It's research.
She's hot.
It's research. Let me take.
Hey, she's hot too.
Listen, Mark's not exaggerating at all. If you go to farmersonly.com, these women are like, they don't go to the gym once a week. They work the gym every day. Yeah, they go get the cows.
They're curling cows.
There are some, I don't know if they're curling them, but there's some hot girls on this site. There's a 23-year-old.
Francis is actually surfing. I'm surprised that he's able to maintain his concentration and talk on the radio.
23-year-old from Columbus, Ohio. My name is Blaine, and I just moved from Middle Tennessee to outside Columbus. I'm soon to be 24 in December, and then I have to subscribe and pay more to read more of a profile.
Oh.
I'm not doing that. But she's got a picture.
Because you're not a farmer only.
And she's hot. And I'll tell you something. A lot of the older women on this site, and I guess the older guys too, although I didn't surf that side of it yet anyway. I just don't go over there after for research purposes.
You know what I think?
Hot.
You know what I think the world
hot,
needs?
Healthy people.
You know what I think the world needs?
What?
A restaurants-only dating service. So, hey, do you stay up till 4 in the morning? Get up at noon?
Smoke
drink
cigarettes?
Too much? Smoke too much? Come on and join the restaurants-only website.
The restaurant business is a dating service, and everybody knows that. That's why they're, you know.
That's the problem with getting out of work at 4 a.m.
A little too much drama.
Yeah.
Actually, I like it. Whatever.
It's a lot of drama. It's a fun, fun place to do drama, though.
It's true. It's true.
It's all those actors.
So the farmers dating service, I think we should go farmersonly.com. And
I like the idea of the restaurants only dating service.
You know, I think there's a point there. I think you got something going on.
Come
there.
On. You know, if my wife had never worked in the restaurant business, I got home at about 2:30 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I kissed her. And I walked out the door at about 9:30 this morning.
Right, most wives would punch you.
Okay.
Or you'd come home and find the locks changed.
Right. You know, baby was up all night. She slept for about 3.5 hours. She's like, oh, you're going to work, huh?
Well, it's December, after all.
Yeah.
It's December. We have Life of Riley in June and July, though, when it's quiet.
Yes, it's better when we're not opening a new restaurant.
We have coming on the show later today, we have the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of New Jersey going to come on and talk to us about farm issues and some seafood issues that they're working on. And ways, you know, New Jersey is the largest producer or one of the largest producers of many different kinds of crops. Mm-hmm. And we get our name as the Garden State. From the fact that we are an agricultural producer of very specific kinds of crops, but we're the most populous state in the nation, most concentrated population in the nation, but that population is really kept in a very
in the
tight
top
area,
half of the state, pretty
which,
much.
Which is like, we're like Tokyo concentrated in those small pockets, but outside, we have farm areas in the far north and west, mm-hmm. and the south, and there are serious farms out there.
We actually have the largest percentage of farmland of any state.
And
we're 16% farm.
Well, no, it's the largest percentage of permanently preserved farmland
in
any state. So we have 16% of New Jersey's farmland is permanently preserved. And that's an interesting way of looking at that. We lead the nation in preserving farmland,
mm-hmm.
Just like we lead the nation in environmental policy. But, you know, what did that come from? It came from the fact that we were the most polluted state in the nation, and we had to do something because our rivers started to catch on fire.
Is that bad when the river catches on fire? How do you put it out?
When the kiln catches on fire.
How do you put it out when your river's on fire?
Throw sand on it? What do you do? And farmland preservation in New Jersey, and it's very admirable, but it also comes, we could be the first state that's entirely developed, that has no land left that's developable. We can hit maximum in the state of New Jersey, and we can do it in less than 20 years. And so that's pretty interesting. But when we have the Secretary of Agriculture on the show a little bit later, we're going to talk about some of the great product that we do produce because there's actually economically viable. And then on Thursday, we have Mayor Jim Cahill from the city of New Brunswick going to come on the show and talk about restaurants and cities and redeveloping cities and probably the model for redeveloping a city in the state of New Jersey.
And we actually are going to be here for a few minutes. We have a few minutes till the Secretary comes on. So if you guys want to give us a call, we may be able to take one or two phone calls today.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, and on the break I was looking at farmersonly.com, which is a website dedicated to dating farmers. And
Francis is out looking for the girl in the Daisy Dukes.
The farmer's daughter. It's an old, I know where that joke comes from. So I want to put a link to them up on our website.
Yeah.
I want to see what single farmers look like across America. Anyway, let's talk about farms locally and more relevant issues. There was an article that appeared in the Star Ledger. About a week ago, and it was an interesting. It reported on a survey. The Star Ledger is the largest circulation daily paper here in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, yeah.
And like the 13th largest in the country or something like that. It's big. Anyway, they reported that the title is "Jerseyans Appreciate Farms but Don't Know the Issues," and there's an interesting disconnect here. 7 out of 10 respondents knew that New Jersey is called the Garden State because of its farming.
I'm worried about the other three of you.
Which begs the question.
Please.
What?
Why did you think we were called the Garden State?
I don't
Garden State
that.
Parkway? You thought maybe that we made the road, and so we called ourselves the Garden State, the Garden State after the Garden State Parkway.
I, The paper doesn't remark upon the scariness of that statistic.
But we will.
But there's a lot of idiots out there is what that says.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Shame on you. Shame on all of
the
you.
The good news is...
30% of you. Shame on you.
The good news is that's up from 61% a few years ago. So we're getting smarter.
We're getting the word out.
We're almost smart enough to live. Sick. All right. Nearly 8 in 10 respondents said they had shopped at roadside stands or farmers markets this summer. Now, there's an impressive statistic.
That's taken this state by storm.
Absolutely.
Every summer, more and more towns are putting together their own little markets with 4, 5, 10, 15 farmers.
Check this out. The same percentage bought Jersey Fresh or local produce in the past month. Now, I think that's really great. People have a soft spot for farmers, it seems to indicate. But when it comes to more complicated issues, the respondents are less informed. Now, remember, this is a state where 30% of us don't know that we're named the Garden State because of the farms. 53% had heard little or nothing about farmland preservation, and 47% they knew quite a lot about eminent domain. So that's 53% that don't know anything about eminent domain, which is basically where a town can take your farm and say, we want to build on it.
Yeah, I it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people don't know about eminent domain because I think that we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about the potential of damage that eminent domain can do. And we see some of the good things that eminent domain can do. When you take an old, condemned, fire burnt out building and you raise it and you put up something that then has a meaningful purpose in a city or a town, then you see the good things that can happen from eminent domain. But I think when you're capturing someone's farm because you want to put up a 24-story development,
73% of respondents did say that taking active farmland by eminent domain, even for a school or recreation field, is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something of a disconnect between the level of support for farming and the level of awareness of policy issues about farming, who said, that's a quote from John Scheinman, who's the director of research at the Polling Institute. If you know, one of the interesting things that arises in suburban developments that happen next to farms, some of the ways that farmers are forced off the farm, there's a farm, right? Farm exists. Farm is, you know, they spread manure on their land because that's what you need to do to raise certain kinds of crops.
You mean fertilizer?
Yeah, but that smells like fertilizer, you know. And, you know, the farmers get up at the crack of dawn and they start running their tractors.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is people will take a farm. You know, the one farm will go over to development. Now the people all move into the condos on that farm.
Right.
And then they start complaining that
about
the farm next to them,
at 6 a.m.
he's getting the tractor out at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. What's he doing? He's spreading manure on the farm. What are they doing? Hey, you moved there
to be next to a farm.
You moved
next to a farm. And you know what they're going to do with that farm? Almost always, farm.
But,
you got to let them.
Well, and we hope that they do. Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, these farmers face enough opposition and problems. You know, nobody's building a new farm next to the suburban development. Okay, no one's going in next to your condo and bringing a new farm in there. So if you do move next to a farm now, and what that does for the planet, and what that does for the food shed, and what that does for everything, those farms are really important.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really important.
Yeah, I just read a cool article about a farm in New Jersey that's been around for a pig farm that's been around for 100 years.
Wow.
And I just think that's just a disappearing thing in our country.
Well,
is those long-term family-owned farms, because you know this is a farm up in Morristown, and I'm sorry, up in Warren, and the property it's on is worth millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
So if you're not committed to do the farming in Warren, New Jersey, then one generation just says, ah, whatever, sells off the land. And now all of a sudden we have a large development there instead of a big farm, and that has a lot of ramifications to the watershed, as Francis was talking about.
As we talked about before, New Jersey is the state that is it's entirely possible we could be the first state to achieve what's never been achieved before in the country. What's called build out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's called. When you achieve build out, it means there's no more developable land in the state.
Which is amazing. I mean, to think that we could be
out of space,
that we could be full, is amazing.
But when we talk about permanently preserving farmland, the way that these things work in various states have various programs is that you can sell the development rights to a piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it hard to do building sometimes when you have these competing issues. But we need to win the race. We need to preserve what it is that we're going to preserve. Because when you hit build out.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about preserving buildable space?
An example of how it works. Let's go to another state. Let's go to New York State. Our friends Barbara Shin and David Page planted a vineyard in Long Island. And what they did to plant, they bought the acreage and they scrimped and saved. They own a restaurant in Manhattan and they also live out in Long Island. And they bought near where they live. A vineyard. They bought a pasture, and they wanted to convert it to vineyard. And what they did was they sold the development rights to the county. And so
now they're never allowed to develop their property.
Right.
It must stay as an undeveloped property.
But
undeveloped can still be a farm.
Yeah. It can be all sorts of open space uses, but you can't put a big high-rise on there. And what they did was they used the money that they got for the development rights per acre to plant vineyards. Now, that is a way that is now permanently preserved farmland. They still own it. You can still sell it to the next guy who can use it as farmland, but you can't sell it.
Or as nothing. They can use it also as, you know, backyard.
But it can still be viable, and the nothings don't really work. We need to keep things economically viable, which is why we need to keep supporting our local farmer, and why we need to educate ourselves a little bit more about the nuances of the issues that happen, and it's why you listen to this show, so congratulations to you. We're going to go and eat a local apple. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
You're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. I have to comment that Francis, every time we go on break, continues to go back to this farmersonly.com
I love it.
Website and surf through, and he's just looking at it like with a dull amazement.
I have to say, part of it is there are some hot people on here, and part of it is some of these people are scary. and I'm equally intrigued. I'm equally intrigued by both. Farmersonly.com, we're going to put the link up on our website later on today. Hysterical. Okay. More serious topics. Now, let's talk about farm issues in a broader sense. We talked about that locally. Let's talk about it nationally. This is from the Associated Press. U.S. calls for cuts in farm aid. The EU has responded for the United States' offer to cut aid to farmers, and the EU responded with a proposal to make deeper cuts in subsidies to its own farmers, but the necessary reforms are expected to be a tough sell to farmers on both sides of the Atlantic. According to the U.S. offer, Washington would make cuts of 60% in trade-distorting farm subsidies. That's not too charged language, is it? But Portman said the EU and Japan would have to make cuts of 80% since the EU uses about three times more support than we do. Okay, here's the issue in a nutshell. Let me finish this. The U.S. proposal also calls for the elimination of all agricultural subsidies and tariffs by 2023. The way we do U.S.
Just
farm subsidies.
One of the things that got glazed over here is also the EU is charging large tariffs on things that we're exporting
into the EU. The way that the U.S. farm subsidies works is wrong. We subsidize crops, and most of the U.S. trade subsidies do not go to family farmers. They do not go to that ideal farm that you're thinking of in your head, like support the farmer.
If you listen to the show, every time we get a small family farmer on, they say, those subsidies don't affect me.
I don't
me.
Get
they're
any
they're
subsidies.
Only for the big business.
They go to ConAgra is who gets the farm subsidies. Mm-hmm. In Europe, they actually support small farmers. So if you have lived on your farm your family's been there for 50 years or 100 years, that you will get a subsidy to help you stay on the farm because it is it's nationally important, they believed, and integral to their culture to keep farmers on the farm. Those types of subsidies I support.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was just about to go. Francis and I are not against farm subsidies. As a matter of fact, we think they're probably a really good idea. We just think that the way we do it is wrong. I would love to be supporting the small farmer. Frankly, you know, the heritage breed birds that we buy, when we buy those, that's what we're doing. We're paying extra for turkey in order to subsidize that
but government farmer. Subsidies are different. People are saying, well, the market should equalize and we should get food wherever we get it cheapest. Now listen. If we have a completely efficient market and food can come from anywhere, what if by 2023, when we want to eliminate all farm subsidies, the most economically sensible thing is for there to be no farms at all in the United States because it's so inefficient to produce.
Right, for us to buy Mexican grain.
Right, so
what if
by 2050 there's not a single farm left in the United States and we buy everything from abroad? That is the end result of no tariffs at all and saying we won't have tariffs under any circumstances. Is that a good thing? Is that what you want? Is that in any way acceptable to anyone?
Well,
because
it's not.
It's not
what I want. And I don't think it's what I don't think that we want to create our food market with what we've done with our oil market, to where we're dependent on another country or somebody else's, to be under someone else's thumb.
It's just crazy. We're going to be talking with the New Jersey Secretary of Agriculture after the break in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, and also of the Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through RestaurantGuysRadio.com or download our podcast through iTunes.
Today we have with us a special guest. You hear us talking all the time about eating locally whenever we can. We have Jersey Fresh people on to tell us all summer what's coming up out of the ground. And here we go, right to the horse's mouth, the man who is more responsible for New Jersey agriculture than anyone. It's the Secretary of Agriculture of the State of New Jersey, Mr. Charles Kaparis, joins us today. Hello, Mr. Secretary.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Mr. Secretary, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you. I just finished my pumpkin pie, so this is nothing. There's no better conversation to have than a conversation with you now.
You're making that up. Come on.
No, it's right here in front of me.
Can I get some butternut squash soup maybe for lunch?
Now, most people from out of state don't realize that, you know, the big joke is, oh, yeah, New Jersey's the Garden State. But they don't realize that we are, you know, top producer. We're the second largest blueberry producer in the country. Yeah. We're the first largest producer of blueberries, not for processing, but for table. Yeah. We're the fourth largest cranberry producer, the fourth largest peach producer, the fourth largest spinach producer, and the eighth largest tomato producer.
Yeah.
Not to mention some of the best varieties of those products.
It's all about quality. Now, in Jersey, it seems that those are all high-value crops. Why in Jersey do we produce that rather than, say, wheat or corn or something that's more of a commodity?
Well, because of soil types and many, what we grow in New Jersey can't be grown, and some crops, I should say, can't be grown elsewhere in the country. And so we have unique soil types, unique microclimates, and, for example, even South Jersey where we have land that's really between the Atlantic Ocean and the Delaware Bay and the Delaware River that offers a unique climate to produce food and crops sometimes, throughout the year, but at least from March through November. And that's not something we can duplicate other parts of the country.
What are the things that can't be duplicated?
Well, peaches most certainly grow other parts of it, but blueberries, for example, they grow in other states, but they're unique conditions in order to grow a good blueberry. We grow a great fresh market blueberry, and you had just acknowledged that we're number one in fresh market blueberries.
What makes our climate unique? What about blueberries? What do they need about New Jersey?
Well, they need access to water. They need, the right acidity for their soil. They need the appropriate weather conditions in order to, not hot. We can't have high humidity, Well, we can have high humidity, but, you know, it's the weather that does it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the blueberry is Vaccinium corymbosum, or high bush blueberry, is actually a native crop, you know, and is indigenous to this region, as are cranberries, two of the indigenous crops in the U.S. So
yeah.
What we're doing now is, you know, really growing crops that really belong here.
Mr. Secretary, isn't the sandy loam important to blueberries as well?
Yes, yeah.
Well, the other thing that I think is very interesting is that not only are they high-value crops, but it strikes me from talking to farmers across the country, and we've been on the air for about a year now, and we talk to farmers all the time.
Yeah.
And we're big champions of the family farm, the small farmer. Mm-hmm. It seems as though we have a higher percentage of our farming is done by family farms than in most of the country. Is that true? And if so, why is that?
Yeah, most of New Jersey farms are run by families, even the larger farms. You know, we have the largest blueberry farm in the world, Atlantic Blueberry, owned by the Galletta family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Haineses and the Lees with the cranberries, and, you know, our peach farmers. They're very, very, some very, very large farmers, but at the same time, we have it all. We have, you know, the vast acreages of some of the blueberry cranberry ground to a small organic farmer in Bergen or in East Vineland.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're the Garden State. We have a very diverse agriculture, but the size of our farms are definitely cover the whole spectrum as well.
You know, there's an interesting parallel there, because if you look at restaurants across the country, because I used to sit on the board of the New Jersey Restaurant Association. I did for about 10 years, and you know, then I decided I wanted to have some free time, and so I stepped down.
So you started to do a radio show instead. Great idea.
Though I still support the organization, and as a result, we would interact very often with the National Restaurant Association. And New Jersey was all independent operators.
Mm-hmm.
And
we always had different agendas, I'll say, than the
nationally, it was all the Taco Bells and the McDonald's and the large farmers. I think there's something endemic about New Jersey. We really like or maybe it's just that the big companies can't figure us out. We're a little difficult as people. I don't know what that is. But that makes your role as the Secretary of Agriculture a little different. New Jersey really has to carve out its own niche to survive. What's the role of the Department of Agriculture in helping New Jersey farms stay on the farm?
First, working closely with the people like the Restaurant Association and making sure that, you know, we have a good connection between our farmers and the Restaurant Association, a good connection between the farmers and consumers, a good connection between farmers and food processors in the state. And, you know, often I'll say we're in the relationship business. And you're right. When you travel around the country, you don't see those family-owned delis, those family-owned restaurants like we do in our state. And that's what makes us unique. And in many ways, what we need to do is we need to connect people with markets. And what we're working on is we're connecting producers with, you know, markets, whether it be mm-hmm. our seafood and shellfish.
Right.
Or it's, you know, Jersey-grown fruits and vegetables, or frankly, Jersey ornamental crops as well. But, you know, even the farmers markets, if you can use that as an indicator, we have 45 new farmers markets in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier, they've just blown up the farmers markets. They're everywhere now.
Oh, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have people genuinely excited about, you know, new farmers markets, both communities and producers and consumers, and having, you know, our consumers access those fresh, nutritious products that are grown right at our doorstep is, you know, really a wonderful story.
Hey, I just want to let our readers know, if you just tuned in, our guest today is the New Jersey Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, Charles Cooperus, who's joined us today to talk about farming in New Jersey and food in New Jersey, and he's just finished his pumpkin pie. So we had to wait till 11:30 for him to just get that, and now he's got to wait to eat it till he's done talking with us.
Yeah.
Now, your office runs a great program called Jersey Fresh.
Sure, and I think by now almost everybody's gotten at least some familiarity with Jersey Fresh.
I mean, how is that funded? How is that supported by your office? What a great program that is. Is that the most successful local food marketing effort for state produce in the country?
It's one of the first, and it is the most successful. I would say it's, you know, publicly funded to a certain point, but what happens is you know, there's some money in the state budget that funds the Jersey Fresh program. And we have a web presence, and we have an advertising campaign. But what's interesting is we have food retailers that buy in,
mm-hmm.
you know, grocery stores, that use the Jersey Fresh logo in their ads because they frankly have a vested interest in,
right.
You know, Jersey Fresh. Restaurants, we're working with the Restaurant Association to do the same with seafood and Jersey Fresh. But we get a lot of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And Jersey Fresh is not, it's well known in New Jersey, but frankly in the region. New Jersey, you may not know, is the number one exporting state to the province of Quebec, Canada. Number six to Ontario.
What do we export to them?
Fresh fruits and vegetables.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Greens, and all the wonderful crops we grow.
You know, I think that most people expected Jersey Fresh to have success, you know, in the high-end restaurants and in the boutique-y kind of markets, you know, the Whole Foods types of places. But you guys have infiltrated the ShopRites and brought Jersey, you know, the Pathmarks, the food towns, and brought Jersey Fresh products to just about everybody in the state, you know, from inner city to the every boundary in the state. And I think that's a really impressive, you know, feather in your cap.
Yeah, well, we're really pleased. You know, what's interesting is you're right with those retailers. Are great and wonderful supporters, and some of them do better than others, and we're working on the ones that don't do as well. But
mm-hmm.
frankly, when I was in Bayonne.
Actually, we're gonna come back in just a moment, Mr. Secretary. We're talking with Charles Cooperus, who's the Secretary of Agriculture of the state of New Jersey, and we'll be talking more with him in just a moment about Jersey Fresh and getting local food at this holiday time of year right here in New Jersey, and even Jersey Fresh produce from around the country. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant, which has recently opened in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today is Secretary of Agriculture Charles Cooperus, who's the Secretary of Agriculture of the state of New Jersey. Welcome back, Mr. Secretary.
Thanks. I finished the pumpkin pie, by the way.
Now, commercials are good for something.
Now time for some local cider with that.
You started to talk to us about a recent trip to Bayonne when we had to cut you off.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were talking about farmers markets and connecting consumers with, you know, Jersey-grown products. But there's a Rutgers-sponsored project called Farm Stand. And there was young people learning business, you know, the business of selling products. But they set a stand up right in front of Bayonne City Hall. And Mayor Doria most certainly was a big supporter of it. But they were selling out there. And those students took their produce also to senior housing projects in that region. And again, we're selling the produce. And so when we take a look at New Jersey market, maybe we were exporting internationally, regionally, but all the way down to a group of young people selling on the City Hall grounds.
One of the things that I think is very interesting about this state, and if you read the book Fast Food Nation, which is a fabulous book, he talks a lot about, he points out some problems that I see. I've always lived in cities. I've been a city kid. I'm originally from Orange, New Jersey. I went to high school in Livingston, but then I lived in the East Village in Manhattan. I lived in Jersey City, and I've lived in New Brunswick. In my neighborhood in Jersey City, until recently, it was hard to get, and in challenged neighborhoods, I've lived in some marginal neighborhoods. In marginal neighborhoods, it's very hard. It's easy to find a Kentucky Fried Chicken, a Burger King, mm-hmm. a McDonald's. It is easy to find a candy bar and a Gatorade and a soda. It's really hard to find a fresh apple, a fresh pear, and certainly fresh berries. And I think that one of the things that these farmers markets, I've seen these farmers markets and a lot of programs with Jersey Fresh work with kids to not only teach these kids how to do business, but to bring good food and at least make it available
mm-hmm.
in some challenged areas where it's actually hard to find good local food. I mean, is that a goal of the Department of Agriculture?
Absolutely. You know what? You hit the nail right on the head. You know, there are some areas that are, we call nutrient deficient. I don't know if that's the right terminology.
Huh.
But, you know.
I'm sure that it is.
That really don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And, you know, and I'll take it, Journal Square, Jersey City, we have a farmer's market there. There's a farmer from Vineland that comes up with two 18-foot trucks, hires, I think, 8 or 10 local young people to help him sell his wares. And does a phenomenal business there, but it's unbelievable how popular that market has become. And, you know, that connection, it's helping sustain that farm in Vineland. At the same time, it's providing fresh fruits and vegetables. But we need more stories like that. And
mm-hmm.
I've heard, you know, there's areas in New Jersey that we need to focus on. And that's something that every year we've identified you know, a couple new communities that, you know, well, I shouldn't say more than maybe up to 10 communities that we target some of our resources toward in order to make sure that we can, you know, start a farmer's market in those areas. But we have some good farmers that are willing to do just that. So,
it's a lot of work.
Yes, it is a lot of work.
I'll tell you one of the things that I think some of our listeners may not realize is every hour, every day that produce sits on a shelf in a supermarket or on a truck on its way someplace, it's losing not just flavor, but it's also losing some of its vitamins, some of its nutritional benefit. And if we can get these into the inner cities, distributed quicker by traveling over shorter distances, that food is not just going to be better, it's also going to be better for you.
And people may not realize that, you know, they say, oh, well, leave the private sector alone, they can handle it. As the private sector tends more and more to large distributors and large markets and big box stores, they simply don't have the time to deal with, you know, the either 5 pounds or 7 pounds or 500 pounds or 600 pounds of tomatoes that this local farmer is going to bring in between August 3rd and August 7th, depending on the weather.
And the fragility of certain
foods. And so they get bypassed. And so what we need to do is what the Department of Agriculture in Jersey Fresh is doing, is setting up these channels. And once we've established these channels and helping that business as a private sector business to survive, the farmer makes money, the people locally get better produce that they're willing to pay for, and we get better nutrition in our cities. And I think that's does that accurately describe the mission?
Yeah, it's a nail right on the head. I think you could be the secretary.
Well, you know, I've got a radio show. What does it pay?
you know, I think you're right. And food miles is becoming a very, very big issue.
That's a term we hear a lot about these days.
Costs and things like that. And we have a vested interest. We're preserving our farmland, and we have 17% of New Jersey's farmland preserved through our farmland preservation program. But what we want to make sure is we keep the farmer on the land. It's a privately managed working landscape. And that whole connection between the consumers and producers, the more we can allow that to grow and flourish, the better it is for the reasons you said earlier.
You know, we only have a moment left, but yeah. As working as the state Secretary of Agriculture, do you get a lot of support from the federal government, or do you find that you're sometimes at odds with the federal Department of Agriculture?
Well, you know, what's interesting is the federal government's looking to New Jersey and other states like us, you know, as kind of trendsetters with respect to a lot of what we do. And so there's a lot of support, but frankly, there could be more. And we're really going to engage in that discussion for the next farm bill, which is up in 2007.
Well, we wish you all the best with that.
Is it possible that you could stay with us for a couple minutes and talk about the new farm bill that's coming up?
Sure.
Okay.
Great. Well, we still have a moment left, so tell us about the new farm bill. What's good about it? What's bad about it? What should people do?
Well, first of all, when we talk about the farm bill, many times you think of, you know, subsidy programs, and frankly, New Jersey family farmers aren't really the recipients of a lot of those subsidies.
Yeah, we don't feel great about that.
Agriculture. Mm-hmm. And we need a farm bill that speaks to that really deals with and helps nourish an agriculture in states like New Jersey and the Northeast and California, you know, and the West Coast in particular.
When we come back, we're going to ask the New Jersey Secretary of Agriculture, Charles Kouperas, what we can do to maybe influence a better farm bill to come out of the legislature in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
You're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Today we're talking with New Jersey Secretary of Agriculture, Charles Kouperas, and we were just talking about the new National Farm Bill that's coming up and maybe the ways we can influence exactly what's going to be in that bill. Mr. Secretary, can you tell us the kinds of things we should be looking for in that bill and how to support them?
Yeah, the discussion starts now. We just had a listening session in New Jersey that was hosted by USDA, and Undersecretary Tom Doerr was the one that was the listener at this listening session. But what was interesting in New Jersey, which was unlike other states in the country, we had people coming up to talk about nutrition, about the hunger programs, even about farmland preservation and the conservation programs. And so that discussion is going to become a national discussion, and it's, you know, well underway with the agricultural community. But what we need to do is we need to speak to our legislators is and dialogue with them as much as possible to tell them the importance of making sure that we have a good nutrition program, whether it be our school lunch or feeding the hungry.
Is there a place that people can go on the web to educate themselves on a farm bill so that maybe they can call their congressman or their senator and make their feelings known?
Yeah, there is, and it's the USDA hosts. You know, frankly, I don't know exactly where it is, but there's a farm bill listening session to the USDA's website, and there's transcripts of all the listening sessions that were held around the country. I would tell them to look to New Jersey, the one that was hosted in New Jersey, and the one that was hosted in Manhattan.
So,
both of them were very good listening sessions.
So if you want to hear the issues, you can go to our website at latest by tomorrow. We'll have a link up to that on our website, which is restaurantguysradio.com, and you can educate yourself about what's going on with the farm bills, pretty important stuff, and maybe call your congressman or your senator and have a little influence. Mr. Secretary, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the show with us and talk about this important stuff.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye.
That was Charles Kupres. He's the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of New Jersey. And who the heck are we to have people like that on the show? Secretaries, governors. We have coming on the show the mayor of one of the largest cities in New Jersey. We'll be on the show. Mayor Jim Cahill of New Brunswick, New Jersey, will be on to talk about restaurants and their role in revitalizing cities.
He's coming on Thursday.
Now, I just want to share one funny story about local.
You have funny stories?
Local. Just not that funny. But local. We were going to talk to the secretary about their new local fish program, which we never got to talk about. But the Department of Agriculture next time is pushing local seafood choices. And I don't, for those of you not in New Jersey or those of you in New Jersey who didn't know about this, did you know that the New Jersey State Aquarium, which is in Camden, great project, but one of their greatest shifts of policy that I've ever seen that I loved was they opened the New Jersey State Aquarium, which is a very huge, very beautiful project, bringing great stuff to Camden. But their initial mission, sounds great, sounds just right up our alley, was they wanted to feature local fish. The problem with local fish in New Jersey?
They're ugly.
They're all brown. At a multi-million-dollar aquarium
filled with brown fish,
brown trout,
brown
flounder,
and little shark,
and some little barnacles.
Sand shark.
Anyway, we want to
scallops.
We want to congratulate.
A clam.
We want to congratulate the State Aquarium for changing that policy. They're beautiful, colorful fish, and you should go visit the aquarium. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.